Okay, so responding to this question, who is God, what is God like, and how can we know God? The very first thing that we see in the Bible about how God describes himself or who God is simply that. We see that in the very first verse of the Bible, it gives us a clue, and it tells us that God simply is. Now, let's test it out here a little bit. Who here remembers what the first verse in the Bible is? ¿Quién aquí se recuerda cuál es el primer versículo de la Biblia? Just go ahead and shout it out loud. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So even that very first phrase gives us the first clue to who God is, what God is like, and how we can know him. So what we know from the very beginning in the Bible is that God is. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The Bible doesn't begin with trying to explain God to us, but the Bible actually announces God to us. God is the creator. He is not created. Dios es el creador. Él no fue creado. And later on, we see in the book of Exodus, this early leader, his name was Moses, he was up on a mountaintop and he encountered God. God spoke to him directly, and Moses had a question. He said, who should I tell the people that you are? What is your name? Who are you? And God responded by simply saying, I am. So the first thing we know about God is that God is. And the way God describes himself is by saying, I am who I am. Dios dice, soy quien soy. I am the God that I am, not the one that you would like me to be, but I am free, I am independent, I am who I am. I am the creator, we are the created. But we also see throughout the Bible the characteristics and the attributes of God. Vemos en la Biblia, también nos dice del carácter de Dios. So the very first thing to understand about the nature of God and the character of God is actually a big word, but we're going to explain it here together. And the very first thing to know about God is that God is transcendent. Now, what does that mean? Transcendent. Transcendent means that God is the source of life, and he is the giver of life. God was not created because he is the creator. Dios es el creador. Él creó toda la existencia. There was nothing before him, and there will be nothing after him. Everything exists in and through him. God is, as the scripture says, a divine God whom we live and move and find our being. The book of Acts in chapter 17, verse 28, reminds us of this. It actually says, for in him we live and move and have our being. So that's the first thing to know about God. God is transcendent. What does that mean? God is the creator. And this will be a bit of a different kind of message. It won't be like the standard sermon. It'll be a bit more like a teaching. So feel free to take out your notes, take out your devices or your bulletin notes, and you can write things down because someone's going to ask you the question one day, who is God? What is God like and how can we know him? So first to know that, God is the creator. He wasn't created. And these other attributes of God we see in the scriptures. Otros atributos de Dios vemos en las escrituras. And these are other big words. Some of you may have grown up in churches and you may have heard this before, or maybe you didn't grow up in church, but you've heard some of these things before, these big words. But these are some other major attributes or characteristics of God. And there are these three big words. God is omnipotent, God is omniscient, and God is omnipresent. So what does that mean? Omnipotent means that God is all-powerful. Omnipotente quiere decir que Dios es todopoderoso. And then secondly, omniscient, that means that God is all-knowing. Omnisciente quiere decir que Dios sabe todo. Él tiene toda la sabiduría. And then omnipresent. Omnipresent means that God is fully present. He created all things and is fully present everywhere. Omnipresente quiere decir que Dios está totalmente presente. So this is what God means when he says, I am. I am who I am. I am not an explanation, but I am announced to you. So God doesn't explain himself to us. We see in the very beginning in the Bible that God is announced as just reality, as the source of all reality, as the creator, not the created. We see in the beginning in Genesis, it begins with this announcement. Again, it's interesting. You all told me right now the very first verse of the Bible. Notice that the Bible doesn't try to convince us that God is real or why God exists. But the Bible just announces to us that God is. In the beginning, God is how the Bible begins. So the way that the Bible begins is in this way. In the beginning, God, Dios, las escrituras, la Biblia empieza con esta frase. En el principio, Dios. No había algo antes de él o algo después de él. En el principio, Dios. You know, it's amazing because when we think about this powerful opening to the Bible, it actually connects with something that's happening this week. This week is going to be a very historical week because it's going to be celebrating 50 years of the moon landing. 50 years since people first landed and walked on the moon. Some of you learned about this in school when Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin and these astronauts, when they first landed and walked on the moon together. And we're really excited about it. It's a big deal at our house because some of you know that our oldest son, Lemmy, he's a little astronaut. He loves space. He loves planets. He can tell you all about this Apollo 11 mission. He knows all about the Apollo missions and the astronauts. And we've been reading and watching some documentaries together. And we already have the whole week planned out. We're going to be reading some books and a documentary and looking at stars together. So he's really excited. But one thing we learned as we were preparing for this week is that before the Apollo 11 mission, there was another mission that happened the year before, and that was the Apollo 8 mission. And the Apollo 8 mission, actually, people didn't walk on the moon, but what they did is they went around the moon. And the people in the Apollo 8 mission were the first people in the history of the world to look at the Earth from the moon. So just think about that for a second, how incredible that is. The people in Apollo 8 first looked at the Earth from the moon. And the first human being in the history of the world to see the Earth from the moon was actually the pilot of the Apollo 8 mission. His name was William Anders. And in that mission, on December 24th, 1968, as they were orbiting the moon, looking at the Earth, he had a message. William Anders had a message for the people of Earth. As he was looking at the Earth from the moon, this is what he said. And I'm actually going to quote to you the exact words from William Anders, the first person in history to look at the Earth from the moon. And you can hear this yourself. NASA recorded it. It's on YouTube. You can check it out. It's just about 2 or 3 minutes. But these were the first words from the first person in history to look at the Earth from the moon. He says this, and I quote, "We are now approaching lunar sunrise, and for all the people back on Earth, the crew of Apollo 8 has a message that we would like to send to you. And the message is this: in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." The very first person to see the Earth from the moon, that was his message to all of humanity. The same message that the Bible opens up with, the announcement that in the beginning, God is. God is not an explanation for us to figure out, but God is the source of reality. God is the creator. And in fact, we see this in the very first opening in the book of Genesis, but we see this in the final book of the Bible as well, in the book of Revelation. Vemos esta realidad de que Dios es en Génesis, pero también en el libro de Apocalipsis. If we can get that scripture ready in the book of Revelation, chapter 22, verse 13, God reminds us of this. He says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the first and the last. I am the beginning and the end. I am." God is. And in fact, what is translated as I am is what then becomes the name of God, or what people came to call God. These two words, I am, were actually really translated in the Hebrew into four letters for us in the English. And those letters are YHWH, which can't be pronounced, but we came to call Yahweh, the name of God. Oh, and then from Yahweh came the name Jehovah, another name of God. But the original phrase, I am, YHWH, it cannot be pronounced, but it could be breathed and experienced. That's the name of God and the character of God. Ese es el nombre de Dios y el carácter de Dios. Soy quien soy, Yahweh, Jehová. So when God says, I am, what God is doing is he's revealing himself to us. And it's going to make sense in some ways, but it's also going to be really challenging because there's nothing like that. Everything that we understand are things that have been created. But when we try to understand the Creator, we are created. And when we try to understand the Creator, it's going to be challenging at times.
A veces cuando queremos entender el Creador, van a haber desafíos, va a ser difícil.
And in fact, in Jesus Christ, God reveals himself to us, fully God, fully human. And in that, in Jesus, heaven and earth are meeting. God comes to earth in this beautiful collision. And if that's ever seemed a little bit confusing to you, then you know what? That means you're getting it. That means that you're understanding it, because it is challenging, it is difficult, because it's us as creation trying to understand the Creator. And before Jesus, we see in the Old Testament, the Bible is really divided into two parts. Before Jesus in the Old Testament and after Jesus in the New Testament. But we see that before Jesus, before God came himself and revealed himself to humanity, in the Old Testament, we see a lot of the attributes of God. We see a lot of the personality of God. We read in the Old Testament what an attribute is. And an attribute is a way to describe what something or what someone is like.
Un atributo nos describe cómo es una persona, o en este caso, cómo es Dios y su carácter.
So in the scriptures before Jesus, we see what these attributes and characteristics of God are, which we've already learned that God is the Creator. And then we also see here that this living God who created us is all-powerful with living attributes. The Bible says that some of the attributes of God are, one is that God is wise. Dios es sabio. So God is intelligent. He's not foolish. He's wise. Anything that we could think of, he is wise. He created us. He designed that. The book of Proverbs tells us that God created the world by his wisdom. The scriptures also tell us that God is glorious.
La Biblia también nos dice que Dios es un Dios de gloria.
That God is forgiving. That God is personal. He's not distant, but personal. In fact, one of the names of God is Father, which is so incredible. No other culture, no other people ever had a God like that, a God who called himself Father and would desire to be a father to his children. So God is personal, and then as was said earlier, God is love.
Dios es personal y también Dios es amor.
Now, it's going to seem challenging and confusing at times, because what we're doing here is us as the created trying to understand the Creator. And that's a lot like trying to fit the ocean in a cup. So, has anyone ever tried that? To fit the entire ocean in a cup? You know, a couple of weeks ago, some of you know that we had an opportunity to have a family beach trip. And me and Charlotte and the boys, we went down to Newport Beach. And it was just a wonderful time that we got to have together. Hace dos semanas fuimos a la playa juntos como una familia. And it was interesting because my oldest son, my three-year-old, he's now used to the ocean. So he really likes to jump in the waves and really enjoy his time there. But my youngest son, Lael, who's just 1 year old,
He's not used to the ocean, and he's still pretty nervous and scared around the waves that come crashing down. But one thing that Lael does, that my one-year-old does, is I don't know how he does this, but he just hangs on to me like a little monkey on my back, and he won't let go. I don't know how come a one-year-old is that strong that I can't get him off my back. But everywhere I go, he's just hanging on to me as we're in the ocean, as we're hanging out in the beach. So he's not comfortable yet in the water, but one game that he really enjoyed playing was when we just gave him a cup and a little shovel. And he started using that cup and shovel, and he made up this game. He would go up to the ocean. He wouldn't step in it, but he would get a little bit of the water, and then he would put it in his cup. And he did that for like 2 hours. He would just get a little bit of ocean, put it in his cup, and run back to me and show me. And he had no way to communicate this, but really what my one-year-old was trying to do is he was trying to fit the ocean in a cup. He was trying to take the ocean home with him. And he couldn't explain this, and as he gets older, he's going to realize that he will enjoy and love the ocean so much more when he accepts that he can't fit the ocean in a cup. But when he simply accepts the ocean as it is. And similar, friends, for us. When we come to accept God as he is, we will love and enjoy and draw closer to God than we ever have before. When we're no longer stressed out or anxious about fitting the entire ocean in a cup, but when we're actually swimming, enjoying, and being refreshed by the ocean in the same way, when we just accept that God is, we're going to grow and enjoy the love of God. Vamos a crecer en el amor de Dios cuando aceptamos Dios tal como Él es. So in the Old Testament, one of the main themes that we see is this attribute of the story of God. That God would reveal himself as what is called the Son of Man. The prophet Daniel spends a lot of time talking about this in the book of Daniel. En el libro de Daniel vemos esta idea del Hijo del Hombre. And what we see is that in many of us, when we think of Daniel, one of the first things that we think of is actually Daniel and the lions. But really the main theme and the main point of the book of Daniel is actually describing this whole idea of the Son of Man. That a human, God would come in human form and he would reveal himself to humankind as the Son of Man. Fully God and fully human. That's what we see in Jesus. Dios se revela por medio de Jesucristo como Dios y como hombre. So, in the Bible, here's going to the second question. We've already talked a little bit about who is God and some of his attributes, but now we're going to talk about what is God like. And in the Bible, we see what God is like. God reveals himself to us as Trinity. Dios nos se revela a nosotros por medio de la Trinidad, Padre, Hijo, Espíritu Santo. God reveals himself to us through the Trinity. As Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So we're just going to take a quick second to talk about this. So Jesus is God in human form. God came to earth. God became like us so that we could be with God. And that is what's called the incarnation. And in fact, in Jesus, we see all of the attributes of God. And the Bible itself gives all of the attributes of God to Jesus. The Bible calls Jesus the glory of God. The Bible calls Jesus the wisdom of God and the living Word of God. In John chapter 1, verse 14, it says that the Word became flesh. That the Word that God used to create all of creation became flesh and came to us. So again, God reveals himself as Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Dios se expresa por medio de la Trinidad, Padre, Hijo, Espíritu Santo. And in fact, this word Trinity is one word that really came from two words, from the word tri and unity. What does that mean, tri-unity? It means that the universe and all of creation is held together by an eternal relationship. By an eternal community of love, by the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So
The nature of God is made evident as Trinity in both the Old Testament and the New Testament.
Vemos que Dios es Trinidad en el Antiguo Testamento y en el Nuevo Testamento.
We see it even in the beginning in Genesis chapter 1, where God created the heavens and the earth by speaking them into existence as the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. In the beginning, there was the triune God. In the beginning, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were all present in creation.
La Trinidad fue presente en la creación.
Everything came to be from that being, one God in three persons, perfect relationship. And we even see another beautiful moment of the Trinity in the New Testament, when Jesus was baptized.
Vemos en el bautismo de Jesucristo otro evento de la Trinidad.
In Mark chapter 10, chapter 1, verses 10 to 11, we see the following. The scripture says this, "And just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven saying, 'You are my Son, my beloved. With you I am well pleased.'"
En el bautismo de Cristo vemos la Trinidad.
So what do we see here? Here is one God, the same essence in perfect relationship with one another, and each loving and serving one another, fully pleased, fully satisfied in each other, completely united as one God, yet in three persons.
Vemos un Dios en tres personas en la Trinidad,
completely united, yet unique. That's the Trinity. Okay, let's be honest now. Who has a headache? Who fully understands what the Trinity is now? It's okay. We're just having the bigger conversation so that you can have the awareness, but God always meets us right where we're at.
Dios nos encuentra tal donde estamos.
And here's the amazing thing, that the end goal is not just understanding or being able to explain what the Trinity is.
La meta no es simplemente entender o explicar la Trinidad,
but the end goal is to love God and to proclaim Jesus as Savior. The point is to know God and the love of God and to be known by God and be loved by God so that we can do life with God. So understanding the Trinity, yeah, that's a great conversation and extremely important. Understanding the attributes of God will help us go deeper. But listen to this. Here's the good news. It is not necessary to understand all of this in order to experience the love and the joy of God.
No es necesario, no es requisito entender todo esto para tener el amor y el gozo de Dios.
And we all know this is true, right? Because we love God, God loves us, but we don't understand everything about God. But we can go deeper with God. Because the truth is that we don't understand everything about the people that we love, right? Who understands everything about their spouse? What they do, why they make all the decisions, what they're thinking. Who understands everything about their spouse? Probably no one, right? If you're not married, who understands everything about your family? Your family dynamics, why they do the things they do, why they've made all the decisions they've made. Who understands everything about their family? Or if you're a parent, who understands everything about your children? What they're thinking, what they're going through, what they're experiencing. Or children, kids, do you understand everything about your parents? No. But that doesn't change the fact that we love them and that we're loved by them. And that's part of the beauty and the gift of God. You don't have to understand everything. That's not the point. The point is to love God and to be loved by God and to do life with God.
Esa es parte del gozo de Dios, es amar a Dios y hacer la vida con Él.
Okay, so we've responded to the first question, who is God? God is the Creator. What is God like? God is a Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one God in three persons. And then this final question, how can we know God? Well, here's the beauty. The beauty and the amazing truth of God is that the eternal, perfect God gives us access to himself. He gives us access to his heart. God creates a pathway for us through Jesus. Jesus says it himself. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Dios es el Jesucristo es el camino a Dios. Jesus is, as the scriptures tells us, I love how it says this in the book of Hebrews in chapter 1, verse 3. If we can put it up right behind me. It says this. It says that he, Jesus, is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. So what do we see there? That the Son of God, that Jesus, is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. Si queremos conocer a Dios, el camino a Dios es Jesucristo. So the central claim of these verses is that Jesus perfectly reflects God's own inner being. If we want to know God, we need to look to Jesus. To put it very simply for us, to look to Jesus is like looking into the mirror of God himself. Because the character of God is exactly reproduced in the person of Jesus. El carácter de Dios lo vemos en la persona de Jesucristo. You know, as churchgoers, as people that have been growing in faith together, for some of us, it may be easy to say that Jesus is like God. Some of us can say, yeah, I'm all in for that. I'm a fan. But what we see here in the scriptures, in the Bible, in this verse that we just read, is this greater truth. And that's the truth that, yes, not only is Jesus like God, but God is like Jesus. God is Jesus, and Jesus is the pathway for us, for people that are creation, for people that are limited and broken and flawed. You and I have the opportunity to connect with an eternal, perfect God. That's what Jesus does. Cristo, Jesucristo nos conecta al Dios eterno. He connects us, humanity, with God, and he connects humanity to God. It's like three people right in the middle, one to my left, one to my right, and then Jesus is in the middle. God, that's what Jesus does. He connects us to God and connects God to us. So to answer this final question, para responder a esta pregunta, how can we know God? Well, we need to do exactly what the scripture says in the book of James chapter 4, verse 8. It says this, it says, come near to God and he will come near to you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Acércate a Dios y él se acercará a ti. Eso es lo que se necesita para conocer al Dios vivo. Come near to God and he will come near to you. The creator of the universe desires to know you and to be known by you. We will only find the peace that we seek when we know the creator and we are known by our creator. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Amen. Next week we'll be looking at what it means to live forgiveness, and how we can hold on to faith in the difficult times. Let's pray together. Vamos a orar juntos. Lord, we thank you and we give you praise, Lord, that you always make a way. And Jesus is that way. Jesus is that pathway and that bridge to know your heart and to know your mind. Te damos gracias, Señor, porque Jesús es el camino y la vida, Señor, que nos acerca a ti. And Lord, we've taken time to really answer some of these hard questions. And maybe we don't understand everything, and that's okay. You still draw near. You still meet us right where we're at.
Te damos gracias, Señor, porque nos encuentras tal como estamos, Señor. Hasta cuando no entendemos todo, todavía nos amas.
Thank you, Lord, for continuing to love us, even when we don't understand. And Lord, thank you for continuing to love us, even when we think we understand everything, because the reality is we don't. We can't fit the ocean in the cup, but we can receive the ocean of love that we have in you, God. Thank you, Lord, that you love us, that you take care of us, that you provide for us, that you're the creator of all of the universe, but somehow through your mysterious beauty, you see each and every one of us, and you want to know us, Lord. The Bible even says, you know the hairs on our head, God Almighty, yet you know all of the stars by name. And for that, we give you glory, God. Only you can do that.
Solamente tú eres un Dios tan grande que nos ama individualmente, pero también creó todo el universo.
Lord, help us today to do this time of worship, to draw near to you, to come near to you and experience that promise that as we come near to you, you will come near to us. We welcome you, Lord, this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.